I thank you, Father God, that you are in total, complete control of our lives, and that you lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. And Father, I'm just asking right now that the people came out to sit in your presence, Father, that you minister to them. You complete the works that you started in them, Father. And Father God, this morning you gave us a new anointing, and I'm just asking, Father God, that you give revelation knowledge to all of us what the new anointing really is doing in us and around us. And Father, tonight I'm asking that you open up spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, this morning, you know, the Elijah anointing is an anointing to go out and speak repentance. And when God says these are the days of Elijah, the song, These Are the Days of Elijah, is calling, making the way for Jesus to come. So that's what you all were anointed to do, to go forth and to preach repentance and to bring the harvest in. The Moses anointing was it so you would not hear God in a parable, but that you would hear God, you would see God face to face, speak to him face to face, and know without a shadow of a doubt what God is doing in your life. You don't have to sit around and wonder, second guess. You will know without a shadow of a doubt when he speaks to you what he wants you to do. All right? So in order to do all that, you're going to have confidence. And so that's what we're going to teach on tonight, is confidence. And Hebrews 10:35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. More than any other people on the earth, Christians should go through life with confidence. But that is not the case. Right? We know that. Many believers live their lives in fear, timidity, and defeat. Regardless of who we are, and in spite of our present circumstances. Many believers live their lives in fear, timidity, and defeat, regardless of who we are, and in spite of our present circumstances, period. If we are Christians, this can and must change. Not only can we have victory, but we can have overwhelming victory in every area of our lives. Some of you don't even believe that sitting here tonight. You just don't believe that. Why? Because things keep going wrong in your life. Why do they? Because you're not where you should be in Christ. Or you could be where you are supposed to be in Christ, but not have the confidence. When the enemy starts fighting you, you don't have the confidence to believe that God can bring you through, because this storm is worse than the last storm, right? And so I'm hearing this from a lot of Christians. They're getting ready to give up. A lot of them are already halfway giving up. You know, they're already halfway through their giving up because they just are tired of fighting. They just don't believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And they just have no confidence, first of all, in God, but no confidence in themselves either. I want you to think about this, because you're going to run into this when you talk to Christians. And, you know, it's sort of hard to have somebody who's really not rooted and grounded in Christ. It's sort of hard to make them believe when they're in the midst of the biggest storm in their life. It's sort of hard to have them believe that God's in control. I mean, it really is. And sometimes you yourself are in the same boat. It's really hard. You say, God, I know that you're in control, and I know you're right in the midst of the storm with me, but this is hard. This is really hard. So if it's hard for you, how are you going to convince somebody else that God is in control? These are things you have to think about, because I just went through that this week. I said, God, if I was not rooted and grounded in you at this point, I'd give up. Even though I know that you, what you've said, at this point, this battle has been so hard and so long that I'd give up. Now, not everybody is that rooted and grounded in Christ. They're just not. And so if we are going to feel that way, how do you think people that aren't rooted and grounded like you are and don't know what you are, how do you think they're going to make it through? You know, I've really been talking to God about this because it's hard right now. But see, what happens is God said he already shook the church. He said he's already going out in the highways and the byways. And those people in the streets do not have religion. They don't have nothing. And so whenever you fill with the Holy Spirit, you start speaking to them, they're going to want what you're telling them. So I'm really asking you to please get confidence in your God and understand that he is who his word says he is. He is what we have read that he is, and he is all that you have need of. When you get down in the Molly Grubs, I call it, where you're about ready to give up, run to your room and lock the door. Don't let anybody else see you in that position. It's just you and God, and you're acting stupid. And what I'm saying is you're feeling like God isn't going to do this thing. He's not in control anymore. And you just need to go in the room and lock the door and give that all to God and finally look at him and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I was so dumb, that I gave in for a second or two and started to believe what the enemy is trying to make me believe. You're all going to go there. You're all going to go there. Even Jesus, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, take this cup from me, but if it's your will, keep it there. I'm paraphrasing that. He knew what he had to go through, and he did not want to go through it. For a split second, he did not want to go through it. He said, but your will be done. So are you better than Jesus? Are you stronger than Jesus? Do you think you'll never get to those points in your life? You will. You will. So what you have to do right now is build your confidence up in God and start building up your faith. And God told us, start building up your most holy faith because the battles are going to get rough. Amen. And whenever you have a really nice song service and the flagger is really anointed and you know, we're riding on the highest wave there is, do you think the devil's not going to attack you after you have all that going on? Of course he is. But you're going to have to know what you know that God is God. He's all sovereign. And you have to know that the enemy is a fool. And you have to step on his head instead of allowing him to tread on you. All right? So Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said there's nothing. And you know all the things Paul went through. Paul said, there's nothing that can separate you from God. Absolutely nothing. And I haven't read anywhere in my word yet where Paul said, God, to take this cup from me. He just kept encouraging the people who said, as he said in the prison cells, kept writing the letters to the churches and kept encouraging them, come on, you can do this thing. And you'd have to be encouraged by somebody who was sitting in prison in stocks and bonds, being beat with whips. You'd have to believe there was some sort of true God for them to be able to sit there and write you a letter of encouragement. Right? It's just like somebody who has an illness in their body and they're telling everybody God heals. You have to believe that there is a God that heals to watch somebody who's going through a sickness be encouraging you to keep on going. Right? All right, despite everything Paul went through, he went through it as more than a conqueror. He just didn't go through by the skin of his teeth. He went through is more than a conqueror. As Christians, we are empowered to live as more than conquerors. Every trial or battle that we encounter in life provides an opportunity to fight the good fight of faith. But only those with confidence will perceive them as such. The body of Christ does not have confidence. They really don't. They don't have confidence. So where am I at? See, I got myself lost. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul says, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. He, Jesus, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus already conquered the enemy. We have been in this boat for a long time. We need to understand tonight that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Our confidence has to get to such a level that the enemy can't come at us with anything at all that he has in his storehouse in hell. He will not be able to defeat us because our confidence is over the top. We just know that we know that we know that we abound in grace and that God is in control. It doesn't matter what the enemy is throwing our way. Now, if you're going to shake your head at me, just please let it go down into your spirit, man, not in this little tube up here. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to sit and say, mind, get right. Quit acting dumb. You know, and stir up that, you know, that most holy faith that you have and start walking in the knowledge that you have of Christ. Get your confidence going. Now, confidence to jump over a wall. We can't even stumble over a stone, let alone jump over a wall, right? King David declared in Psalm 18, 28 through 30, King David said, for it is you who light my lamp, talking to God. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. We can't say that in all honesty. And look at all the things David went through. But he said, for it is you who light my lamp. You're looking around to look for some kerosene in a match. But David, it says it's you, God, who lights my lamp, right? The Lord my God lightens my darkness. It isn't your little sweetie sitting next to you that does that. It's God that lightens up your darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. You know, he says, by you, God, I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. I fell out of a little tiny cherry tree, so I'm not going to try to leap over a wall. I just know by faith that I can leap over a wall, okay? And my angel's going to pick me up and throw me over there. I know he is. But I'm going to get over that wall, all right? Not on my own. God's going to have to help me. So how about you? You can't get over the wall by yourself. God has to help you get over that wall. David said, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Now, David made this bold statement after his troops charged and took Jerusalem from the boastful Jebusites who had dared David to try to scale their walls. So he did. Then he was bragging about his God. It was his God that let him do this. In 2 Samuel 5, verse 6, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites. Now the king is David, okay? The inhabitants of the land who said to David, you will not come in here But the blind and the lame will ward you off, thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and that is the city of David. It was called the city of David after that. He didn't care what they told him he couldn't do. He knew his God, and his God was going to let him take that city. So when the devil says you can't do anything, you say, okay. If you say so, devil. And then you sit down, and you can't do that. You say, you devil, you, I'm going to do this thing, and because I know you're telling me I can, I know I can, and I'm going to take this thing. Whatever it is, whatever your wall is, you're going to take that wall. Amen? Come on. David not only took the fortified city, but declared it to be his headquarters, and the fortress was thereafter called the City of David. He not only, well, why don't we take up a camp on the devil's territory? We need to take the territory from the devil, then say, I'm pitching a tent here. And devil, you're not welcome. I'm declaring this ground for the Father. Right? Okay, I'll tell you what I went through here a week ago. Every night, 2 o'clock, I'd hear people walking in my house. The heater would come on. That means somebody's running to hot water somewhere. And I'd hear people walking around. And then I said, wait, what is this mess? And I went out and checked all through the house. Not a soul there. After the third night, you know, I said, God, now this is every night at 2 o'clock this is occurring. And he said, the enemy has taken up camp in your home. And see what happened before I took authority over my home, traffic would start occurring in my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. So even though the people weren't there, the spirits lingered. So I had to tell them, hey, you know, this is my home. This is God's territory, and I haven't heard it since. Well, here's what I was going to do. I was going to call the deliverance team and have them come over and anoint my house and pray through my house. And I'm thinking, you dummy, you have authority. This is your home. You don't need no deliverance team to come and pray over it. And anoint. You know how to do that yourself. Use the authority and set your own home free. So that's what I did. See, I was going to be lazy, let somebody else do it. But God said, no, you're not. We need to stop being lazy and letting somebody else do it. We need to start taking authority over what is ours. Same thing with our bodies when the enemy's trying to make us believe we're never going to be healed. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot take this temple. You might be tormenting this temple right now, but you're not taking it. You're not going to take up headquarters here and destroy this temple. It belongs to God. You have no right in my temple. And you have to keep saying that and keep saying that and keep saying that. And one day you'll find out, hey, he finally knew you meant business and he left. In other words, you're healed in Jesus' name. You hear me? Come on. All right, so I said David not only took the fortified city, but he declared it to be his headquarters. The same with you and I. Some of the greatest obstacles of our lives can become the place where our authority to rule in this life is established. Some of the greatest obstacles of our lives can become the place where our authority to rule in this life is established. Are you listening here? You know, you're going to have to get confidence in who you are in Christ, and you're going to have to use that authority that's in that confidence to make the devil leave you alone. And I have to laugh because it just came, you know, God put this in my remembrance years ago when I taught on the Conquer series. The church was packed out. I did that Conquer series, and I would stand back there about where Ruthie's sitting, and I said, if God wanted you to masturbate, he'd put hair in your hands. Remember that? I mean, I said, whoop. Even though I was saying whoop inside, God still kept speaking. And I said, you have to take authority over your hands. These hands belong to Christ. You know, when you get to preaching, you'd be surprised what God will say through you. Yeah, you know, that's right. But you know, you have to keep running. The boldness is there. It's God speaking. You have to go and speak what he says. And you have to take authority over these things. Why let the devil do that? They're not the devil's hands. It's not the devil's body. Your hands and your body belong to Christ, do they not? So why are you letting the devil take the territory then? Okay, let's move on. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. You people need to read that over and over again. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. God has not given us a spirit of intimidation, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When the enemy is scoffing, it is a time for attack, not withdrawal. When I was in the Walmart the other day, little Isaiah was getting his soda out of this machine, and it was taking him, out of the little case, and it was taking him a while to make up his mind what he wanted. And I heard this man say, I'm not quite finished yet. I think that was a statement. And, I didn't pay no attention because he wasn't talking to me. And so then finally I said, Isaiah, honey, do you know what you want yet? And he said, yeah. And he got it. And the guy said, well, if you waited, I'd have been done here in a little bit. Something like that. And so I turned around and looked, and here he was. He was stalking the shelf, and I was standing right next to him. He was more or less telling me to get out of his space. And I went, I didn't move. That's God's space. And he could have stocked that shelf after they closed. That's why they close early, right? To stock the shelf. Now, and I'm not saying being ignorant or rude, but I was standing a bit oblivious to what was going around about me. I wasn't paying attention where I was standing, and I wasn't paying attention who was there. And then, in fact, there was a lady standing over here, and she said, well, I really have to go to the bathroom, so I'm going to walk right on by you. She's waiting for me to move because it said, wait here. She's going to pee herself, but she's going to wait there, right? Now you see what I'm saying about these tape things are controlling you. And I said, well, come on, Isaiah, let's go ahead and move so everybody else can move. Okay, so when I went to the beauty shop today, it said, wait here, outside the door, wait here. And I'm looking at that stuff. I didn't wait there. I thought, now how are they going to know I'm out here? How long do I have to wait out here? So I opened the door and went in. And I didn't read what it said on the door, but it said you had to have a mask to go in there. So I didn't have a mask. I walked over and I said, ma'am, I said, how do I get my hair cut here? Do I have to make an appointment? She said, no, we don't take appointments, but so happens somebody can cut your hair right now. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I have my two grandchildren. I said, I can't leave them in the car. Can I bring them in? Well, yes, since the three of you live together, yes, they can sit here. And she said, but you have to have a mask. I said, I have a whole bundle of masks in my car, and I'll make sure I have one on. But I went out. And that made me mad. And I said, I'm just going to get in my truck and leave. Tell me, stand outside the door and wait here. Wait for what was I waiting on? They didn't even know I was out there. Because when the open door went in, they had their backs turned, talking. And I just said, ma'am. And then they turned around and saw I was there. Well, let's get back to this. I had confidence. And I used my confidence and I went in there. This is dumb. And now they say they're going to shut us down again. I mean, that's what they want to do, shut us down again. Because after all, people are really getting sick now since they opened everything up. I've done lost my place again. I need to, Father God, I just thank you. Then I forget that there's cameras in front of me too. Now this is going out everywhere, isn't it? You don't have to say I'm your pastor if you don't want to. Okay, so David's victory over the Jebusites was no surprise to him because his confidence had been established in his ability in the Lord when he was a shepherd lad. David's victory over the Jebusites was no surprise to him because his confidence had been established in his ability in the Lord when he was a shepherd lad. When facing Goliath, he said to Saul in 1 Samuel 17:32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, the giant. Your servant, who was David, will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and the Lord be with you. He was building up his confidence. The whole time he was in the backside of the desert with the sheep, his brothers were glad that he was out there. God was building up his confidence, and so whenever the time came to kill this giant, he already knew who his God was. And he already knew what his God would do through him. And he wasn't going to back down from nobody. See, this is what God has been trying to do with the body of Christ. Build up our confidence. In the different situations that you've been in, God was trying to build your character. He told us that. And he was trying to build your confidence. So when the bigger demons come after you, there wouldn't be any problem. You'd be like David. I killed the kitten and the dog. And devil, I can kill you. See this? Come on. But see, this isn't the way it's been working. But tonight you're going to change, right? Tonight you're going to have confidence that all those things that God brought you through was preparing you for this hour that we're in today. And a little piece of tape is not going to bind you up. Right? All right. To his older brother, you know, to David's older brothers, David sounded cocky. And like this morning when I was sharing what God showed me, God told me a lot of people are upset with you right now because they think you're cocky. But I'm not. I just know who I am in Christ. To his older brothers, David sounded cocky, but the bold statements were not declared in arrogance. David was speaking out of strong inner conviction when he spoke those fearless words. He wasn't full of pride. He just knew who his God was. He knew what his God did, and he knew his God was going to continue to it. And we also know that as David got older, he acted like he was a crazy man one time, didn't he? Foamed at the mouth and everything to run away from his enemies. But he still knew his God was taking care of him. There's a difference between biblical confidence and arrogance. Our confidence is not based in who we are, but in who Christ is in us and what he has already accomplished through his victory at Calvary. This confidence is deeper and more powerful than any human confidence. All right? Cockiness is shallow and shackled with a most repulsive character flaw, which is self-centeredness. Biblical confidence is full of grace and truth, and encompasses one of the most appealing characteristics that we can possess. It is the true humility of Christ-centeredness. I don't care if your people get mad at you whenever you stand boldly before them and say, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. That's what you're supposed to do. You aren't supposed to be there melting like a piece of butter, stick of butter, and let them walk all over you. You just say, I know who I am in Christ Jesus, and I know what God's called me for to do, and I'm going to do it. And I'm here and come hell or high water. I'm going to do it because God told me to do it. And if I couldn't do it, he wouldn't call me to do it. Because he says, if he calls you, he equips you. All right? Come on. David was confident in fighting the Philistine champion Goliath because he knew that his God was greater than the gods of the Philistines. God rewarded his confidence with victory over the giant. The reason why you don't have victory over your storms is because you don't have any confidence that God is even going to be there. Now, really and truly, okay, so some of you wanted to be like Moses, the anointing to be a Moses, where God speaks to you face to face. So get prepared for God to speak to you and tell you what's going to happen before it happens. And he does that so your confidence is built up and you know, okay, the devil's going to come at me and he's going to do this, this, and this to me, but God has told me that he can't defeat me. See, this is what you asked for this morning whenever you said you wanted to be like Moses and have him talk to you face to face. He's going to tell you beforehand that the devil's just going to about kill you But he can't. He's going to tell you beforehand that you're going to go through one of the biggest storms you've ever gone through. But God's going to be there with you. Now, I'm hoping that you're bold. And I'm hoping that your confidence is built up. So that whenever God comes and tells you, okay, Grace, you're getting ready to go through some warfare. And this is what's going to happen step by step by step. Because this is what God does. And this is what the devil is going to do to you. But this is what he can't do to you. And in the end, Grace, you're going to be standing praising me. And God's saying, I hope you got rid of all your foolish thinking. Because you want to be like Moses. Come on. What did God tell Moses? Speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He got mad. He hit the rock. That got him in a whole lot of trouble, didn't it? He couldn't go into the promised land. He allowed people to control him. And instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And God said, you can't go into the promised land now. You let all these dumb people back here who don't know how to even get through the desert make you mad, and now you've lost out. Do you understand that? A simple old thing like that kept Moses out of the promised land. You don't allow people to dictate your life to you. You know who you are in Christ, and you know you hear God's voice. And believe me, if you're under me, if I'm tutoring you, I'll soon let you know if you're out of line. Because it's my job to keep you in line so that you can stay on the path God put your feet upon, and then you can end up where God wants you to be. Okay? Now I've lost my place again. David wrote of his great appreciation and adoration of the Lord in Psalm 18, verses 30 through 39, and just read that when you go home. He wrote about his appreciation and adoration of the Lord in Psalm 18, verse 30 through 39. Now, Satan flees from bold believers. Satan flees from bold believers. If the devil can neutralize your confidence, he knows he can nullify your witness and consign you to depression and defeat. Let's stop there. Satan flees from bold believers. If you are on a deliverance team and you can't get Satan out, it's because you are not a bold believer. You do not have enough confidence in yourself that God is working through you to do that, deliver that, and get that demon out of somebody. When I used to do deliverance all the time, the devil would say, you can't make me move. And I said, what? Get out of there right now in the name of Jesus. And boy, they'd run right out of there. You devil, you don't come and tell me you're not going to move or be dislodged. When I tell you to get out, you need to get out. You see, you have to have that boldness if you're going to do deliverance. Because you're not going to get the devils out if you don't. And you can't let your feelings be hurt. You shouldn't take your feelings into a deliverance anyhow. You should take Jesus Christ with you. Well, now did I step on enough toes right now when I said that? All right, Satan flees from bold believers. If the devil can neutralize your confidence, he knows he can nullify your witness and consign you to depression and defeat. On the other hand, he recognizes he has no power or authority over a confident believer. He doesn't mess with me at all. He knows that I know that I know. I have confidence in who I am in Christ Jesus, or I wouldn't be here tonight. I can guarantee that right now. So, where are you at? Do you have confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus? Do you know what God's really called you for to do? Are you really walking in the precepts of what God has asked you to do? Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence? Do you have confidence? I want that to sink in your head. You're going to have confidence to continue on this journey. According to the word, when you face the enemy with boldness, he will flee. And that's in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I didn't even want to write that down, to tell you honest truth. I said, God, I don't want to write that, because we say that over and over and over again, and we don't even know what we're even saying. It's just something that we just say. Resist the devil and he's going to flee. It's just something we say. We don't really believe that. If we really believed that, then he wouldn't have as much power and authority over you as what he does. Acts 19:13 says, a team of itinerant Jews who were traveling from town to town casting out demons planned to experiment by using the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation they decided on was this: I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. This is what these little exorcists were going to do. And they were the seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this, all right? But when they tried it on a man possessed by a demon, the demon replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And he leaped, and this demon leaped on two of them and beat them up so that they fled out of his house naked and badly injured. The demonized man overpowered them and they fled in humiliation. Even though the sons of Sceva were using the right words to try to cast out the demons, they were still defeated by the devil. The church needs to understand that neither our tone of voice nor our volume will affect demons. The critical issue is the depth of our revelation of Christ. The sons of Sceva did not have authority against the enemy because they did not have a direct relationship to Christ. They were trying to preach in the name of Jesus, whom Paul knew, not whom they knew. This will never work, but if we do know him and are joined to him, you know, to Jesus, then Luke 10:19 will be true for us. And Luke 10:17 through 19 said, when the 70 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to Jesus, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yeah, Jesus said, yes, he told them, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning. And I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy and to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. Then Luke 10:20 says, however, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Because of Jesus' words, we can honestly say it takes more than the correct words to cast out demons. One time I was doing a deliverance on somebody and the devil says, we don't have anything on you, but we know things about your mother. I said, shut up and come out in the name of Jesus. They'll do any tactic to stay in there. We need to understand that there is a thin line between biblical confidence and spiritual arrogance. If our confidence is truly God-centered, he will stand with us and he will also receive glory for our victories. And Philippians 4:12 says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything I have learned, the secret of contentment in every situation. Let me start that again. Paul says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything, period. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want. For I can do everything God asks me to with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and power. Then Paul says, but even so, you have done right in helping me in my present difficulty. They had given him money. Paul said, I know that I can do everything in Christ, that Christ asked me to do. And I don't really need you, but thank you for helping me. Are you seeing this? It is this Christ-centered confidence that must be recovered by the church if we are to accomplish our last day ministry. Everybody's all excited. Oh, the glory's going to fall. The glory's going to fall. The glory's going to fall. It'll kill you. If you don't have an intimate relationship with Christ, it will kill you. You don't need to be getting so excited about the glory falling. What you need to be getting excited about is your intimacy with Christ. The glory is falling is what's going to bring in the harvest. But God has also told me that he doesn't have vessels that are pure enough yet to drop the glory on to bring in that harvest. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, just throw it away. All right? So you know where you stand with God. You know exactly what you're doing and what you're not doing. All right, where am I at? Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan falling from heaven as a flash of lightning. He had a revelation. He knew that Satan had no power. He saw him being kicked out of heaven. Then in verse 9, he said, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. Jesus saying, Satan doesn't have any power. I saw him being kicked out of heaven. He has no power, but you have all power and you have all authority if you would just walk in it. So I said, tonight we need a true revelation of Satan falling. Just like Jesus said, I saw him fall. He has no power. And you need a revelation of Satan falling away from you. And he has no more power in your life. And you need to have confidence in that fact. That I don't care how bound you were before you got born again. God has been delivering you and setting you free. And Satan has no power and no authority in your life. He cannot make you go back to do what you used to do. Well, you know, I was tempted. And who tempts? Satan tempts, right? I was tempted and I fell. No, you wanted to fall anyhow. Because God has been telling us you have to stand. You have to have power and authority. I did look at Sister Nancy. There are many times she would say, call me and say, that devil was after me with everything he had. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I wouldn't allow him to do what he wanted to do with my life. Isn't that right, Nancy? She had to fight and she fought and she fought and she fought until she became totally and completely free. Is that not right? And now she's an intercessor in the house of God. The devil just didn't walk away from her because she was sitting in a spirit-filled church. And because she spoke in tongues, he had to leave her because she fought the devil. Sometimes she would lay and cry in the spirit all night. She would call and tell me until the devil left her. And he'd wait till she was asleep, and then he would come and attack her while she was asleep. Woke her up, and then she'd have to fight. She was tired. She had a job. She had to go the next day. But she knew that she didn't fight. She had nothing. And she has confidence in God, knowing that as she fights, he fights her battles for her. You know, there's too much lethargy in the body of Christ. We just want to sit, let everybody else do our fighting for us. Well, you know, I'm weak. You're only weak because you want to be. I know this sounds hard, but I've got to get your attention. You're only weak because you don't want to fight. My Lord, when you was out there working for the devil, you let him use you in any way he wanted to. That's when you were weak. Now God says when you're weak, then you're strong. In other words, when you feel weak, call out to God. He will be there. He will strengthen you. And he will bring you through those valleys of depression. Are you listening here? I know the brother sitting there, every bone in his, every his body aches from everything that's going on in his body. But he has to fight through, or he'd be a cripple laying in a bed, not being able to move. But he makes his body get up and listen to him. Instead of, he doesn't listen to his body, he makes his body listen to him. Come on. You know, I'm sick and tired of saying, well, you know, it's so-and-so's fault that so-and-so does this, because if so-and-so wouldn't have told so-and-so this, they wouldn't do it. I say, look. My earthly father told me from little on with a belt, you have a mind of your own. Don't ever come and tell me that somebody else made you do something, because nobody can make you do anything that you don't want to do. And believe me, that belt taught me that I have a mind of my own. And if I don't use my own mind and not do the things that would get me in trouble, I was going to get a beating, not a spanking, but a beating. But I'm so glad I had a father who loved me. You know, chasing me. And then that made me love the Father in heaven too, because he chases me because he loves me. I have confidence in him, knowing that he's not going to let me go astray. He will not. My Father in heaven will not let me go astray. But see, you don't have that confidence. So you just let the devil take you down any old side road that he wants to take you down. You don't have to do that. Do they, Nancy? Nope. Do they, Barbara? Come on. You don't have to do that. You have to get confidence in God. And I said, tonight we need a true revelation of Satan falling. In other words, you need to see him being kicked out of heaven. He lost all power and all authority, and he went bloop down here, and he just down here just everything he does, he imitates God. And he perverts it. No power, no authority. Father God, I thank you right now tonight that you're letting the people get the revelation that Satan did fall from heaven and lost all power and all authority. He didn't bring any power and authority from heaven with him. He was just kicked out. And Father God, I want you to drop upon your people right now that's here tonight. Let them understand they have all power and all authority over the enemy, and their vessels are vessels of honor that belong to you. And let them see, Father God, that they don't need to give in to the wiles of the enemy. All they need to do is cry out to you and fight the good fight of faith, and you will pull them through. And Father, I just thank you right now, and I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. Right now, God wants to open up your spiritual eyes and let you see Satan being kicked out of heaven, powerless, that he has no more authority over your life. The only authority he has is authority you give him. Don't give him any more authority. The door is closed. Now lock it and throw away the key. He can't come through that door unless you unlock it and open it and welcome him in. And Father God, I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke that's being dropped upon your people right now. Father God, open up their spiritual eyes right now. Let them see as you see. Let them see this devil. He's trying to make them believe that he's stronger than you. Let them see him under their feet, Father. And Father, I thank you for the revelation. I thank you, Father God, for the visions. I thank you, Father God, for opening up the eyes so they can see the truth as the truth really is. And Father, we just give you honor and we just give you glory in the house tonight. You are an all-seeing, all-knowing God, and you are in control of all of our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's somebody watching tonight that God, you've been crying out to God for revelation, and he wants to give you revelation tonight of who you truly are in Christ. He wants you to know that you know that you know that you belong to him and that the enemy has lost its hold on you. And God's saying the past has been really severe. The trials and the battles have been really strong. But God said those days are over and you no longer are ruled by the enemy, but you're now, the Father now is taking over your life. And you'll no longer desire to do the things you used to do, and you'll no longer go back into those valleys of despair, but you'll stay on the mountaintop, be ministered to by the Father. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. We thank you for it, Father.